The following programming is sponsored by Don Beischel. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here.
And welcome back to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. And again, the toll-free number is 888-329-3306. So we're going to continue our conversation with Jenny Dallas from the Liber Initiative. And Jenny, you know, one of the things that Gary and I were talking off air was that it's not only the Hispanic community that these politicians do this to. They do it to all the communities. But we believe, and we've been advocating on this show here for years now, God, it seems like for years, that the only way to solve this issue is to have a continual presence in the community. In other words, just don't show up 6 weeks before the election, but to be there, you know, the whole 365 days a year.
Absolutely. And that's what the Liber Initiative is doing. We're there. We're supporting our community. We're not leaving. We're educating. We're providing some of the resources, you know, that are barriers to getting forward. So we will have a ESL class. And my goal with our ESL classes here in Pennsylvania is they will be learning about our system, our government, the Constitution, the proper role of the government as they're learning English. That way they're not being, influenced, another way once they start learning English. So I'd love for, and it's good. It's good for them to learn our history and something like when they're, when they're applying and getting their citizenship. There's a lot of questions there about our history and our government. And that is a perfect opportunity to educate our community. We'll have how to start your own business, how to build, how to acquire a home. It's not all about politics for the Liber Initiative. It's about breaking down barriers that are preventing Latinos from getting forward. And that is the difference when you asked me earlier about, other people trying to get this done. We're trying to be a part of our community. We're not leaving.
Mm-hmm. And again, you don't focus on specific candidates. You really focus on educating people around the issues. And the Liber Institute as a philosophical organization is really more focused on these conservative ideas that would help, for example, a small business owner be more successful. It's got to be a tremendous shock when people who start trying to get a small business organized find out that they have a huge number of regulations and they've got to deal with all these agencies. That must be a significant wake-up call for folks doing that.
Don't speak English. You have all these regulations and you don't speak English. So it makes it even harder for them to, reach the American dream that some of them have come looking for. So I had this person that's been trying to do a podcast and he's trying to ask me to help him. And he wants to, get immigrants to talk about their experience coming in through the border and how what they expected is not what is happening, the dangers they incurred during their walk here, however they got in here. So I'm thinking, well, he's telling me that they're not seeing what they thought they would be seeing once they got here. Well, so that's pretty interesting.
The people who've organized this invasion, right? And that's really what it is. When you've got 10 to 15 million people coming in and no one knows who they are, that's not just a guest stopping by for dinner. That's an invasion, right? And there could have been some false advertising there, but there are a lot of organizations focused on continuing to keep that flow going. We actually had a Keystone Town Hall last night where we talked about what's going on at the border all the way down to the Darien Gap and in great detail and who the organizations are that are making this happen and the incredible amount of money the federal government is pumping into NGOs like Catholic Charities and the UN to continue driving this flood of people. But it's quite possible that the people that are the organizations that are pushing the invasion really don't care very much about the individuals that they're bringing here. They just want the labor. They want what they expect to be leftist voters, and they want to keep these wages down over the cycle. They're not doing this for the good of the migrants they're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think you were talking earlier about the different Hispanics and their different views on this, you know, our government, Cuban and Venezuelans. Mm-hmm. They know what they've come from. They can see clearly where we're headed. I love talking to them because they pump me up and they get me, you know, keep me going because they don't. I had this one woman in Pittsburgh tell me last week. She said, "I lost one country. I'm not going to lose another one."
Yeah.
I was like, "Hey, let's go."
That's what you want to hear.
Yes, you want to hear that. And I think people need to know that, other people need to know that every Latino is not, a leftist. Every Latino is not in the same, category. So people know the difference. And there's also, a lot of Latinos, and we hear this over and over again, we have this value system, God first, our family second, and our country. And it is very real in the Latino mm-hmm. community. They're very passionate people. You see how I talk? We're just hands people, and we're just, excited about whatever
right.
we believe in, and that is where we need to capitalize on.
Yeah.
Where do our value systems, equate? How do we, let's just start there.
Well, one of the things that we have found in talking to people from different communities is that when you've come here from a country like Venezuela or Colombia or whatever like that, where you've Poland. Been oppressed,
yeah.
We've talked to that when we've had Russian immigrants on from the old Soviet Union and stuff like that, that they are aware of the danger signs of where this country is headed. And they are so
exactly.
passionate to stop that from happening. And
exactly.
I think that, unfortunately, in this country, people here have lost sight of what it took to get to where we are now. They don't recognize the signs of what I call subtle oppression.
Yeah, subtle but growing.
Yes.
Yeah, the third or fourth generation American really doesn't have a reference point unless they've been paying attention. And, a lot of people are estimating low information voters at roughly 90% of the electorate. It's kind of a challenge, which is one of the reasons why we do town halls and we've worked with groups that do messaging and try to get these messages out so that the average citizen can wake up a little bit, because what they're getting from corporate media, of course, is one extraordinarily unified, simple message. And it is extraordinarily destructive. And it's all wrong. What you're getting, if you're watching ABC, NBC, and listen to NPR, there's no way for you to understand what's going on in your world.
And not only that, Gary, quite honestly, let's be fair, because we spoke about this earlier when we had Senator Mastriano on. Unless you have an issue that energizes the voting public, the statistics kind of are dry and they don't get anybody riled up, so to speak. I mean, Philadelphia is a perfect example. We haven't had a Republican mayor in Philadelphia since 1952,
mm-hmm.
and city council has been controlled by Democrats since 1960. Yet people keep voting for the same thing. People complain, okay, but yet they keep voting the same way.
Or don't vote at all. Yeah.
And so it's not an argument that's going to be won just on statistics, but I think, as Jenny said, I think that you have to find that particular niche that's going to energize the
You have
people.
To be personally affected by
yes,
something.
Yes,
So Jenny, you mentioned inflation as one of the issues that's going to drive the Hispanic voting community this year. Then we talked a little bit about the immigration thing. Is there a split in the Hispanic community where people who have come here legal and are citizens are concerned about the flood of illegal immigrants coming across the border from, and they're not just coming from Hispanic communities, they're coming from China, they're coming from everywhere. There's a special supply yeah. chain along the Darien Gap that's established by the CCP just for their people. What's the attitude in the community about that?
Yes. Most people are not for the open borders. I mean, it doesn't take, you know, or rocket science to be cliche to know that that's jeopardizing our safety. And, you know, to gaslight it to say that, you know, we're just trying to keep people out and so forth. Like, you don't leave your front door wide open for anybody just to come in, right? Because you want your kids to be safe. That is what we're doing as a country. We're just protecting our borders. And Hispanics know that they're not, you know, they can tell and they know what's going on. So, I mean, I don't understand all this gaslighting that's going on because no one's being fooled by that. And yeah, we need to protect our borders, and we need to reform our immigration system. You know, there's people that are trying to get here legally. There are people for years working on trying to get here legally or get their citizenship, or the cost of it. It's so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're in a position where
about 1 in 10 of the people living in this country are here illegally and no one knows who they are. And we know that within that group, there are some actors that are not great folks. And that would include, for example, the cartels. So, you know, everyone who comes here illegally, of course, comes as a client of New Jalisco or Gulf or Zeta, somebody, right? They all have to pay a fee to the cartels who control the United States border. They've got the franchise to operate our border. And anyone who doesn't understand that is confusing themselves. So if you came from, Mexico, if you came from Juarez or you came from Tijuana and you understand the role of the cartels, if you came from Honduras and you understand the role of the cartels or Venezuela, you understand the roles of the gangs in Venezuela. And now you find out those gangs are getting not just established here, but are growing rapidly. That MS-13 is a very powerful army in the United States now. That has to be visible in the Hispanic community in a way that it isn't in some other communities, because they're all these are people they are around. Am I right about this, or is this not visible in the Hispanic community? Is there any concern in the community about the fact that these multinational criminal organizations are becoming powerful here as they were in the other nations that folks may have left?
I'd have to say that public safety has been an issue for a very long time, mm-hmm. whether it's American citizens or immigrants coming in. It's been an issue in cities for a long time. And when you speak to parents in the cities, they're afraid for their children. They don't want it like this. And that's what I'm saying. Why do you, well, again, they're not voting, probably. Like, they're not voting. So, and then the ones that are voting. They're such a small percentage of voters. You know, they're able to get the same, you know, politicians in that aren't doing anything. So eventually, hopefully, they will open their eyes. I don't know how soon, how much more it has to be for our nation as a whole to begin to say, you know, we are the people, this is our country, and the government has to listen to us. And we have a voice, and we need to use our voice. We spend more time on social media than we do sending a letter or making a phone call to our government officials. Most of them don't even know, and this is in general, don't even know who their local officials are. That's why Libre Initiative has the website that they have. Like, you can just jump on there and pick a topic that you're interested in and sign a petition at the least. And we need to do this as a whole in our country. We need to become more active. And we've gotten to the point that many people do not trust our government, so they're doing nothing, and that is the wrong thing to do.
So Jenny, Jenny, before we wrap up, I did want to ask this question. So what is the biggest obstacle that the Hispanic community is facing, that you're facing with the Hispanic community on getting them involved in the voting process? you know, like for me, I sit there and I say, maybe, like you said, a lot of these people come from areas where they distrust the government. So they're less likely to be involved because they still don't trust the government, even though they're here. But what do you find is the single most obstacle of achieving what you want to achieve?
The empowerment. That is what Libre Initiative is about, is empowerment. Many people do not feel like they have the power to make a change, and they do. And we're being that vehicle. We're opening the doors. We're giving the opportunity that you can do something about the situation. And you know what? Guess what? This administration, which we can only talk about right now, is not helping us. This is hurting us. This policy, Libre Initiative is about the policies that are affecting our community. This particular policy of high spending and keep taking our money, our hard-earned money, which we're, the median for Hispanics is quite low.
Mm-hmm.
The hard-earned money that we're trying to make, and you're taking it and you're spending it on things that do not help us.
Yeah, that aren't in our interest. And it is the case that...
So it's empowering. It's empowering.
It really is. And it's good to hear that the same concerns that people have in most communities are beginning
Correct.
To affect them at a level that it's motivating them to start to think and act differently, because you know we need an incredible turn in order to turn the country around. Right, we're going to need massive turnout of people that are really thinking through the issues and not just swallowing what this message is from corporate media and from the giant political machine. They've got to be thinking about their families and their communities and these crazy policies that are being implemented that are really just eviscerate the Constitution from our national fabric. So, well, Jenny,
people and House is finished. Here's what I said to people: Can you afford another $10 coming out of your paycheck?
Exactly.
Right now, this is what we're talking about.
And that's the way to approach it. Put it into terms that people can actually relate to. You know,
this is what I'm. You have to know how to talk to people. We cannot keep driving this message with this, you know, we have to meet people where they're at. And
yes.
This is where they're at.
So
$10 means a huge difference to
yep.
somebody.
So, Jenny, before we wrap up, can you share your website so people go where they can go and find out information? And, of course, we'd love to have you on again at some future date if that's acceptable to you.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So, good.
The website is thelibreinitiative.org. And then you can go, and there's an events page. There's also how to take action and lots of information about our point of view on policy.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Jenny, for coming on. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking to Rosalind Williams. And you're listening to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM.
Hi, this is Don from The Conservative Voice.
Have your rugs and floors taken a beating this winter? Fido's sharing the great outdoors with your sofa and chairs? Puffy's still potty training? I have the solution to your problem. Give Fresh and Clean Cleaning Services a call at 215-949-0682. Fresh and Clean Cleaning Services, located in Levittown, Pennsylvania, can handle all your rug, floor, and furniture cleaning needs. Serving parts of Bucks and Montgomery counties, along with Northeast Philadelphia and parts of New Jersey, the owner Rick takes great pride in treating your home as his own. Fresh and Clean Cleaning Services provides services to both residential and business clients. So if it's time to remove those nasty spots, stains, and smells from your floors and furniture, give Rick at Fresh and Clean a call at 215-949-0682. You will be glad you did.
Hi, this is Don from The Conservative Voice.
Are you looking for new business cards? Need new menus for your restaurant? Signs old and outdated? Employees need new shirts? Cars, trucks, and vans need new signage? Look no further than Mann Custom Wear. Located at 2250 State Road in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Mann Custom Wear can fill all those needs and much more. At Mann Custom Wear, the owner, Mark, takes great pride in providing his customers with a superior product that is sure to catch the eye of potential customers and wow your existing clients. So if you're looking for a change, if you're looking to increase business and visibility, reach out to Mark at Mann Custom Wear. He can be reached at 215-651-8932, by email at markcolt45@hotmail.com, or on the web at www.mancustomware.com. Man Customware, your one-stop shop for all your design and printing needs.
And welcome back to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. Our toll-free number is 888-329-3306. Again, that number is 888-329-3306. I'm Don Beischel Jr. and my good friend Gary Heasley here. Gary, you want to introduce our next guest?
So we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Rosalynn Williams and Jenny, and we were, again, talking about sort of leading up to the primary, what are people thinking in the community, and so on. So Rosalynn joins us again now. Rosalynn is with Americans for Prosperity, and she's out in the community. She's, you know, an organizer, an activist, an engaged person, let's say. So Rosalynn, welcome to the Conservative Voice.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary, for having me back on. And I believe I heard Don on there as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Don. I had a chance to meet Don briefly when I first switched sides. And I think I was even at your house one time, Don,
yep,
for an event. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So
that's great.
Nice to hear from you.
Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
So, Rosalynn, you may have heard some of the conversation we had with Jenny. And you know, tell us, where do you focus? Where are you spending your time? You know, what community, where are you focused?
Okay, so currently right now, the work that I do, my focus area is Philadelphia County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, Chester and Delaware County.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much currently right now, what I do is I recruit individuals to knock doors for us through Americans for Prosperity, as my role as the grassroots engagement director.
Mm-hmm. So,
for Southeast Pennsylvania.
So in that, you're getting a pretty good cross-section of points of view, you know, from these various counties on what people are thinking about. So I'd ask the same thing. You saw what happened in the primary, where we had a greater number of Republicans voting for Donald Trump in Philadelphia than we had out in Chester County, for example. And Delaware County was a little bit, you know, better than Chester, but it's various levels around the state. And of course, 16% over the state overall voted for Nikki Haley. And it's just sort of bizarre that people are still doing that. I know some of them are protest votes. Some of them are not Republican. And so they switch parties to do that. There are a lot of factors. But nevertheless, the question is, what do you think was motivating people into the primary? And what do you think are the drivers, the points that we're going to really need to focus on from here to the general to reach the people that you are trying to talk, you're working with? What is it?
I would say that the driving factor of what people need to know is, what are you going to do for the overall community? Not just certain people, because you have certain communities that have been lacking for years and promises or things that have been promised to them that they have not received now. And so I definitely believe that is why you've seen an influx of individuals that did come out to vote, but they have not voted the way they used to vote, which is just for a particular party. I think at this particular time, most people's eyes are open to the accountability of what most politicians are telling them that they're going to do for communities, and they have not come through. So I think accountability is very important right now. I think most people need to understand that we're at such a critical time in this country for how things are going to go in November. And people want to hear the truth. They don't want to just hear the same old story or same rhetoric that's been told for years, but they want someone to speak to them and speak to their pockets. One of the things that Jenny was even talking about regarding that inflation. I mean, you know, one gentleman I spoke to on the doors recently, you know, he said to me, he said, listen, I've struggled all my life. So you can tell me that we're in a recession, but a recession is what I've been in all my life. So mm-hmm. Public safety was a major issue for him. And that was in the heart of North Philadelphia. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
At some point, even being born and raised here in Philadelphia, as bad as it is now today, there was a time in Philadelphia that I even felt safe going out in the daytime. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately now, at any time, you can be assaulted, you can be hurt, you know what I mean? So inflation is a major issue, but it's not the only issue
right.
for individuals that's in certain parts of the community.
So if you think about what you said just now is somewhat of a bizarre statement to a point, right? I mean, you're mm-hmm. saying you felt safe outdoors in Philadelphia in the daytime at one point, and now you don't. The citizens don't. And of course, we see the violence and the news reports about crime and so on, and driving out of retail. We see that community transforming, and it's not just one community. It's happening at different degrees all over. So is it now getting to a point where you're seeing a mass awakening in the community and they're saying, we just simply can't allow this to continue? Or is it more of a resignation? Look, it's bad. There's nothing we can do. Which way is it moving?
I think you have a little bit of both, if I may be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because even at the doors, even when we're at the doors and we're engaging voters, you have a lot of voters that are looking forward to coming out and casting their vote to help see some change in this country. But then you have a plethora of them that are not voting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think across the board, you have half and half. I will say this, that many people have woken up to see that a lot of the problem that is going on is not from, because it's a pointing the finger or blame at somebody. But I think you have individuals in our community in Philadelphia that are standing up to fix within our own community some of the problems that's been going on as far as the crime and the violence and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say that at this point, we can't just say it's the police officers or it's lack of enough coverage,
mm-hmm.
For safety reasons. I think now individuals in our community, if we have the right resources, if we have the right end of programs and different things that can help us, as a community to help our own families, I think that's where we need to start from. And I think people are waking up and willing to really recognize that that's where the big problem has come from. Our families are torn apart in many communities, in the Black community,
mm-hmm.
in the urban community. Our families, it starts with family.
Yep.
And I think if we can get our families back on track, right, and I think some people are waking up to really understand that most people are not going to look out for you. You must look out for yourself. And I think that's what's taking place right now in our city.
And if you're in a community where violence is becoming more prevalent, where people are feeling unsafe, There are a few things that the community can do to fix that if the government, which is responsible for the police force and so on, and prosecutions, if they're not going to do it. And clearly they've sent that message. I think when Larry Krasner was elected, I think it was him that put in that he published a list of all the crimes he would no longer prosecute.
Right.
And they included things like burglary. And it was shocking to me to see them say it publicly. We knew they were doing this behind the scenes, that they were really pulling back from any kind of law enforcement and trying to make the community more chaotic. That's the only answer, right? They weren't doing it for some higher calling. They were doing it because they wanted to disrupt and change the nature of the community. Well, it's had the impact. Now people don't feel safe going outside in the daytime in some areas. So there's some things that you could do, right? You could, be more thoughtful, be more aware of your surroundings, maybe even get some training in how to defend yourself should you be accosted by someone who's violent. There's some things you could do, but is there anything that communities are doing to sort of fill the gap between the police and nothing, between that are doing to secure themselves?
Well, I will say this, that I attended a rally. I guess it was like a community rally where they had the Philadelphia police officers to meet at a particular church, and they had members from the community to come and talk. And I listened to the community members. I also listened to some of the same old politicians that we've had in office for years. And pretty much, to me, the people in the community was just tired of hearing the same old, because they've been saying the same thing, what we're going to do, but things have not gotten done.
Mm-hmm.
Things just have not changed much, and they have not gotten done. I'm not saying that in some areas, some things haven't been changed, and some individuals or community leaders have not implemented programs to
sure.
try to help. But overall, it's still been the same. I'm hopeful that, you know, with our new, the new mayor, I heard someone talking about the mayor that we've had. We haven't had a Republican mayor. And I want to say this, that, you know, when I first came back to Philadelphia and I saw the condition of this city, it really hurt my heart because I was saying to myself, I had come from Georgia. I saw what the finances and the budget that comes into a community can actually do to help a community. And I was just very surprised to see that we still had pockets of our community that looked the way that it did. And there were some great, some areas that great things had been done, but overall, it's still impoverished. The community still had not been fixed up, cleaned up the way that it could. I tried to go into Walgreens one day to purchase something, some personals, and I could not believe how empty the shelves were. Mm-hmm. And when I asked the young lady, I said, are you guys restocking the shelves? She said, no, we get robbed every day and we're not allowed to do anything. So those type of things is what has really hurt us as a community, period.
And you when know, you see...
Like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you see something like that, so you go into this local store and you see that its shelves are empty. That, no, we're not going to restock. But you know that's happening in San Francisco. You know that it's happening in Los Angeles. You know that it's happening in Baltimore. That's happening in cities all across the country, which means it's not one local politician that's incompetent.
And they're Democratic cities. Please,
all of them.
Let's say what it is. It's Democratic cities.
That's right. That's a great point. So it's not one local politician that isn't doing the job, or one governor, or one attorney general, or prosecuting attorney, district attorney. That is a systemic change. We've had retail in this country since it was founded, right?
Yes. I mean,
and they're driving retail out of these communities, leaving them with no choice, I suppose, but to buy online by credit card. And so it's a strategy. It's not an accident. I reject the idea that all of this is happening through incompetence.
Well, Rosalind, so, you know, you brought up a great point of family, community, and so forth and so on, which I wholeheartedly agree. But at the same time, why do you find, or why do you think that people know this, they see it, yet when it comes time to vote, they don't do anything about it? It's the same old, same old. You know, you know the old saying, you know, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Well, in the city of Philadelphia and these other Democratic cities, they keep doing the same thing over and over again. They keep electing the same people. They don't know, no change, no nothing. And yet they'll complain, but when it comes time to vote, they vote the same way all the time.
But and are they connecting the dots, the folks that you're talking to, are they connecting the dots between the fact that it's not just their community, but rather it's communities across the country? They see it on the media, that it is not accidental, that somebody's actually not doing their job or doing their job improperly, and it's somebody that they've elected. Are they understanding that these are happening in Democrat cities? Are they following corporate media and blaming, say, Donald Trump?
I definitely believe that corporate media has really affected a whole bunch of people from my community. I definitely would say that the hatred that some people have, I'm not going to say many because a lot of people are flipping now because their eyes have opened up about Donald Trump, is that, you know, some people are scared. I want to say that I believe some people are just afraid to take the kind of hit that you will get when you leave the Democratic Party or you speak against it. For myself, you know, and I'm speaking for my own personal self, I lost my friends. I lost family. I lost a lot of the individuals that I care about from the church community have rejected me simply because I denounced the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that was very disheartening. So, but it takes a very strong individual to be able to go against what's popular and what everybody else is doing, even to its own detriment.
Well, Rosalind, I need to ask you this, though. So you go through that, okay? And are these people, so the folks that were your friends and members of your church that have now pushed you to the side, do they not realize what is going on, or do they just say, well, I realize it, but it doesn't affect me, or you know, what I mean, do you have a sense of why they don't realize the extent of what's going on, that they would excommunicate a lifelong friend who is just trying to change things for the better?
Yes, I would, Don. I would honestly say I don't believe they do recognize it. Mm-hmm. Because even to this day, that was like 3 years ago, but even to this day, if I post something on my Facebook page about my status of being a conservative, I still have individuals with the audacity to even respond on my page, you know, and to challenge what it is that I'm doing. I have them, they go into my inbox and will send me different messages about this is who the Republican Party is. And I'm saying, well, look at the Democratic Party. And I want to say this very clearly, and I hope those that are listening would understand this. At this particular time, it's not about party, but it's about policies. And so the right. policies that the Democratic Party has been initiating and putting have not done anything for the black community, you understand? And mm-hmm. even those black elected officials, many of them that they have elected and put into office, I really do believe that they go into office with a sincere heart to do good. But I think there's a breakdown once they get in office about caring for therefore and no more. And the resources never get trickled down to the entire community. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I want to say that, you know, it's so crazy that you're saying that, because I, you know, when they challenge me, I be looking at them like, don't you see what's going on with with the way that you're voting, with the way the individuals that you are supporting, don't you see that they have not done anything for you, nor are they planning on doing anything for you, but to keep you caught up in hatred? And that's the one thing, you know, and that's the one thing that really gets to me, that individuals that I have spoken to that were friends of mine can hate a person based off their party affiliation, when, especially the ones from the church, when Christ does not teach us to hate anyone. But it is really coming from a real place of hatred, a place of darkness, a place of unforgiveness, I want to say, for past, you know, things that have happened between blacks and whites. You know, and I believe that at this particular time, some of the chaos that has been promoted through those things is what really has caused people not to be able to see, but to be blinded by hatred. That's yes. what I really believe that it is. In many instances, because many of them cannot explain why they support the Democratic Party or why they're still voting no. the same way. I challenged them when I ran for city council on a special election. I was in their faces challenging them when they were saying to me, but you're black and you're voting, you're not voting Democrat. I said, why are you still voting Democrat? And most of them could not answer me.
You know, I met a guy at a diner.
So that's a real fact.
I met a gentleman in a diner in up around Delaware State Forest, up north of here, and he's in his 70s, and we were sitting there, two or three of us that had just met at that diner that morning, talking about politics, and he said he's voted Democrat his whole life, and he always has because his father did. Now, he's in his 70s.
Right.
And he wouldn't consider even thinking about voting any other way. Right. It would never occur to him. And I thought, I said, well, you know, your dad's been gone a while. You know, you've been an adult for a while. Aren't you free to think this through? And this is, you know, a guy that's just so deeply embedded in the brand that he can get up. And I'll tell you, that's a problem on the Republican side, too. They will vote for any Republican that gets uh-huh. put out. They don't get active in primaries because they're just party loyal, brand loyal. They aren't really thinking about the fact that critical policies aren't getting implemented that are critical to the entire community.
Well, one of the yeah. things that scares me, and so I got to see exactly what Rosalind's talking about firsthand. So when my good friend Kathy Barnett was running for Congress, mm-hmm. so she was speaking to a bunch of African American ladies, and she's speaking to them, and she's telling them what she stands for, da 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 da, and they're all like, "Yeah, we really like da 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 da." You know what you're saying, and we'll support you. And so one woman says, "You know, I was looking at the ballot, and I don't see your name on there." And Kathy says, "Can you show me?" And she looks at it, she goes, "Oh well, you're looking at the Democratic ballot. I'm a Republican." "Oh well, in that case, I can't vote for you." And Kathy said, "Wait a minute, even though you agree with everything I'm saying, you won't vote for me because I'm a Republican.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that people have been so well trained that they will vote against their own interests, or it, you know, they will even take it down to just one of the magic word issues, of which I see three right now. One, of course, is gender. One is climate change, and the other is abortion. And there are people that if you just say that word, they'll set aside the interests of their family, their community, their country, and vote exactly as they're told because they've been so deeply programmed on a single issue that they just don't think. And the intolerance of it is another shock that, you know.
It's actually sad. I mean, when I was running for city council in the 9th district, you know, I would talk to the people and they really enjoyed as well what I had to say. And then when they saw that I was not, when I told them, I said, and I'm not with the Democratic Party, it changed, you know, they shifted. But I mean, we did get some votes because we were out there, you know, every day and we were talking to the people and engaging them. And some people did say, oh, you know what, I'm going to vote for you. But the people that did say they would vote for me was people that's tired of what they're seeing. I think many people now, Don and Gary, are open to the fact that there is another option on the table. And again, I'm not just saying that that option is Republican. What I am saying is that that option is to vote policy and not party.
Right.
That option is to vote for the person that's talking to you about what they're going to do, being able to hold them accountable and see to it that they do what they say they're going to do. Because I myself, you know, after I switched from the Democratic Party and denounced them, you know, I spoke to a friend of mine that had been one of my church sisters for a long time. And I remember her trying to convince me years ago, like, Ross, how do you even be a Christian and vote for some of the things that the Democratic Party promote? And I, too, could not see, you understand, until my eyes became open, right? And so when I did switch and I joined the Republican Party, only for my eyes to see there are things on the Republican Party side that I don't agree with as well. You understand?
Look, we all know, we've said this many times, there's no perfect Republican. There's no perfect Democrat. There's no perfect person. The only perfect person was Jesus Christ and Almighty God. That's it.
I agree 100%.
Okay, yep. So everybody's going to have their flaws and their idiosyncrasy, so to speak. But like you said, but when you're looking at the overall thing, people should vote and support policy over party. And that's all you're trying to say is and I hear this so many times. Like I have a good friend, Pastor Todd Johnson, who his church is in North Philly.
And
Okay. So I've been to his church many times. We've had people there and we speak to many people there. And it's funny. So when you speak to them, they align more with what the Republican Party stands for, but the Democratic Party stands for. Yet they vote Democrat. And when I said to them, I said, well, why? You know, and they, well, I've always done that. Like Gary said, I've always done that. My father did that. My mother did that. You know, I'm there. Well, you're voting for the same thing over and over again.
I believe too, Don, it's because the Democratic Party is not the same Democratic Party that it was years ago.
Exactly correct.
They have really become extreme and completely, they definitely promote things that biblically that I just am not well with. You understand? Because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. I believe in the word of God. I believe in family. I believe in good values. I believe that the husband should be at the home with the children. I believe in all those things. I believe in working hard, you know, and creating a future for myself. And so, you know, I believe that's why, you know, like they don't understand. Some people have not really dug into the fact that it's not the same party that you used to support.
Right.
Right. And that things have changed. And if they really watch some of the things that they promote, which does not sit well with you, if you say that you are a believer in Christ Jesus and you believe what the word of God say, then it's like, how could you vote for some of the things that they promote? And so, again, you know, it's for me, when I'm out there, you know, I'm listening to individuals. I love listening and engaging people at the doors, you know, and really we found that most of us, we have more in common than we do that's apart. We want family. We want good jobs. We want to be able to feed ourselves. We want to be able to bring a paycheck home and not exhaust it all on bills. We want to be able to have some money left over to do some things with our family and to, you know, enjoy life. You know, and so those are the things that have most people from where I'm from don't have those abilities to do that. You know what I mean? They just have not had it because of the way this system has created a wheel of poverty or a wheel of always lacking. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for now, you know, I just believe that many people's eyes are opening up. They're seeing that they have voted the same old way and nothing has changed really for them when they really evaluate themselves. I think if most people can stand up, get some backbone, and be willing to go against the grain and to accept that there is other options for you than the ones that you have been voting for all your life,
yep,
you know, they would see a change too.
Well,
you know,
I think Rosalind, I think that we're starting to see that. We talked about it on the show before. The numbers of the, just let's just use the African American community as an example. The numbers are showing the increased support for President Trump in the African American community, even over what he accomplished in 2020, which people said was historic. And now we've seen those numbers climb even higher. We were looking at the was it the Wall Street Journal poll, Gary?
Wall Street Journal, CNN.
Yeah. And we've seen a dramatic increase in the minority communities, African American, Hispanic, right, and so forth, for President Trump. And I think it goes to the gist of what you're saying, is that people are starting to become aware of the policies. In other words, look, we can all admit that sometimes President Trump says things that he probably shouldn't say and makes remarks that he probably shouldn't say. But every person does that. It's not just him, okay? It's everybody. Everybody sometimes will mess up and say something they probably shouldn't say. I've done it, okay? But the point is, and I think that you're making a great statement here, where you have to start looking at policy over party.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Rosalind, are the say, three or four major issues that are going to drive from now? So base premise, I don't think Joe Biden's going to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. I don't see how they could possibly get him there. And I don't think Kamala Harris is going to be on the ticket either, because I think she's been such a disaster. They can't rehabilitate her image. They can't make her capable between now and then. So I think we're going to end up with someone else. That is going to be a real opportunity for them to push the concept that whoever they bring in is more moderate and less radical and so on. But what are the, say, three or four issues that are really going to drive from now till November, drive folks to start thinking differently, voting differently, acting differently? What are the things that are really touching their lives that are going to pull them even more out of that entrapment they've been in?
I believe it is some of the things that we've been doing is going to them, going in the door, in the communities. I think a lot of conservatives don't face a lot of individuals as Democrats, but the Democrats will go wherever they want to go. But I think we have to get out there in those particular communities, and we have to have individuals that's not afraid to really talk about what the policies are, what the facts are, not just give out false promises. And some of those policies need to be about how you're going to, you know, assist those in the community with these mental health issues to try to help get some of them the treatment and stuff that they need, how we can really help to clean up the community. I will say that some of the things that Mayor Parker has been doing in Philadelphia has been good. She's been making some efforts to clean up the community some and being out there with the community and cleaning the community up. And that's some of the things that we need from conservatives as well, to show up, to stop hiding in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To come forth.
So Rosalind, we have a caller on the line that wants to speak to you. Sue, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hi, Rosalind.
Hi, Sue.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing. I it's very brave thing to go out there in the community. I mean, even nowadays, to talk to some of your family members, you have to be brave. I was a Democrat before, like before 2020, and then I came over to the Republicans, but I was voting Republican issues long before that. But I just wanted to say that what you're doing is great, and I want you to just keep on pumping on.
Thank you, Sue. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you.
I am, and I agree with everything you say, and I think it's going to take people like you to get out into the communities and teach these people about the policies, because most people do not understand. And it's the same thing with the inflation that I think you were talking about it, either that or Jenny was. But it, you know, the common people just don't know about these things and about the issues. And I think teaching them that things have changed and that, you know, what they're actually voting for will help.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to say.
So
thank you.
Sue, a quick question, Sue.
Yeah,
what was the biggest issue that caused you to flip sides? What was it that made you reevaluate?
Well, I don't know if it was really one issue. My husband is conservative, and I had been listening to a lot of things over the years, and it just seemed like, you know, the government in general just was not doing what the people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hearing a lot more truth from, you know, the Republican party that I, you know, as they were presenting themselves at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of a long journey. and now I'm sort of like, well, I don't know really who to trust, but, you know, you have to, like Rosalind said, vote the issues and not the party. And I think that's the best advice that you can get, because that way, you know, you are getting, you know, to the issues that matter to the people. And, you know, I think that is just the main thing. So I think that supporting things that help our families, and also the fact that we just have so much more in common, and those are those family issues, and, you know, the dollars, you know, that and how far they go for, you know, after you have your necessities, you want to have that, that freedom. So,
and
that's
about
it.
Inflation erodes that freedom. The policies erode that freedom. Rosalind, what was the what?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sue.
Thanks,
appreciate
Sue.
It.
What?
Thank you, Sue.
Okay.
What really caused you to sit back and reevaluate this? I think you'd said you were in Georgia, right? We've got about four minutes left. Can you tell us just that brief journey? You know, how did you sort of awaken to this and then get so involved?
Well, so when I left Georgia and I came back here to Philadelphia, I was hired as a regional director for the Democratic Party. And at that time, it was during COVID. I wasn't taking any job offers in Georgia because I would not get the vaccination. I was totally against it. I didn't want it. And I'm still against it. And so the Pennsylvania Democratic Party did not require you at that time to be vaccinated. But 2 months into me moving and getting a home up here in Montgomery County and spending that money to move and all that, they fired me 2 months later because I would not get the vaccination. After being told that I would be granted a religious exemption, then they pulled the rug out from under me. But I want to say this, though, because a lot of people don't know this part of the story. They didn't just fire me because I would not get the vaccination. They fired me because I would not go along with their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And what agenda is that, Rosalind, that you would say? It's a hitting agenda that they have, which is to do just what I believe you said it, Gary, to create chaos within our communities. And I was just one that was not going along with just doing what they say do. I have a voice. I believe in freedom. I believe in speaking up for myself. And if I don't agree with something, I'm going to speak about it. And so, you know, it was the fact that they wanted me to get that vaccine. And I told them they would have to drag me down dead before I let them stick anything in my body. Because I believe, like I said to them, if they could fight for a woman to choose to have a right to abort her child, I should be able to say what I want in my body. And to me, the fact that, you know, just something that's, which may seem simple like that, for me to let my family and those that I love and tell them that was one of the major reasons why I left, for them to still have a problem with them, it goes to show the enslavement mentality that they have. Because how could you know that something's wrong with that when you as an individual have a constitutional right to say what you want to say what you don't want in your body and someone try to force you, how can you go along with that? Well, I stop by to say, I'm not going along with it. I will never go along with it. You understand? And I think many people are waking up now to see how they've been trying to control us. You understand? And so
yep.
I'm not one that they're going to be able to do that with.
Well, Rosalind, so
that is clear.
We want to thank you for being on the show. Now you're with Americans for Prosperity. Is there a website where people can go to check out Americans for Prosperity?
It's just AmericansForProsperity.org.
Okay.
You can check out the work that we're doing. We're doing some really great things through our position as a grassroots engagement director. We're hiring individuals. Anyone that's looking to help us this year, please check me out. You can even give me a call at 215-341-0313. We are hiring right now, and I'm looking for, like I said, individuals that don't mind going out into the community and engaging voters at the doors.
Well, thank you very much, Rosalind. And you guys have been listening to The Conservative Voice here on WWDB. Stay tuned for Tone and Tenor with Mr. Ronald Jefferson Randall, God almighty, I should know what his name is by now, Randall Jefferson and Pat, and we'll be, man, I'm messing this all up today, Gary. Is this my first time on the radio or what? I mean, good Lord. Anyway, thanks for being on the show, and we'll see you guys next week. Maybe Don will bring his mind with him next week. Take care and have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you.
Good Lord. Did I screw that up or what?